Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sunday League Pundit Show, episode 63, I think. How are we, gentlemen? I'm joined this week by Jim Jam on screen and off screen, Tin Ribs.
The usual Tin Ribs, yeah.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Good, good. We have just been to play golf together, actually.
Yep.
I say play golf. We were at the driving range. We weren't actually on a course. It's too cold and we're too crap.
Whenever we say we're going to play golf, it snows.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
It does. More than you'd expect.
Kind of weird, though, isn't it?
It's weird, isn't it?
It's strange. That charity day is the only one we seem to get away with, and that pisses down. So it's not snow, but it doesn't have rain. Jesus Christ. Do we have a Jim Jam, the stat man stat? Because I've fucking got one.
I know you've got one. I suppose nothing really too major, you know. Mm. Southampton are on the least amount of points at the moment, breaking
Joint
Derby's
least.
Record.
There was another team at this point of the season that only had 6 points. Winner. Can't remember who it was, but they did end up with more than Derby.
Yeah.
So there's still hope.
There's hope. There's hope for us yet.
I would like to say that my stat is that Arsenal are now the only team in football history to concede a penalty because of an accidental clash of heads. And that would be because of the one referee that I have moaned about that is fucking anti-Arsenal, and that's Anthony Taylor, the fucking prick.
If it was accidental.
Controversy!
If you actually watch it in the slow-mo from the angle, William Saliba goes, heads the ball, and then heads the player. And they give a penalty. The only team in football history, not Premier League history, in football history, we are the only team to concede a penalty that way because of Anthony Taylor. Well done. You shit at your job and you need to strike
it. Well, the refs are shit.
So I think that is a good place to... I'm all wound up already, you know.
Yeah.
I'm actually really wound up already.
Come on.
Play the music. Hello and welcome to episode 63 with us jolly, jolly human beings here. Myself, Jim Jam and Tin Ribs.
How are we doing?
All full of joys, mate. Full of joys. Can't you fucking tell?
Yeah.
I'm really happy this week.
Yeah. At least you two boys got a point.
Yeah. We threw it away.
It's different when you're used to getting your ass handed to you every week.
It's easy.
Yeah. We will go into your week, and some of that I don't agree with as well, actually. But I would like to start by saying Manchester United have started their cost cutting, and they've done their cost cutting by cutting all monies they give to charity. They've cancelled certain members of staff's credit cards and ability to use the team accounts, and they're basically just screwing everybody over in order to save money. Like, how is that going to save the money? Surely, keep the credit cards, keep the charity giving, just get rid of Rashford. His wages alone should be way more than any of that shit that they're saving.
Most
surely.
Likely. Yeah.
Like, they're cost-cutting in the wrong places. They're doing the wrong thing. They're screwing their staff over. They're screwing their fans over. Because haven't they put prices up as well till the end of the season or something stupid?
So, from what I heard, they have removed any concessions. So it doesn't matter if you're retired, disabled, under
How
18.
How shit is that?
You pay full price. No matter what, you just pay full price.
How Everybody shit is pays. That? They're cost-cutting in the wrong places. They're screwing the wrong people over. It should be the players that are currently screwing the club over that they are now screwing over, and they're not. And it's... Man, I don't understand it.
Well, all I'm going to say is the nickname of scum... is very apt.
Oh, have they scored, though? I don't know.
It doesn't look like it.
No.
We have got the game on in the back. For those that are curious, the second half of the Man United-Liverpool game is currently being played, and we have got it on. So
he must have just looked happy.
If it does react to it, we're not technically doing a watch along, but the game may come up. Liverpool got a corner. That's what you saw.
Yeah. It's just Mazraoui looked quite happy, so I thought, oh, has he scored?
We watched the highlights again because it was a great game, but we've got Spurs 1, Newcastle 2. Oh,
wonderful.
So
what a start to the game. I watched it.
I watched it because I like to watch it because Zach always pesters me about the game, yeah. And like if I haven't watched it, I can't then talk to him about it. So, Austin, Spurs keeper.
Thought he did all right.
Made his debut after 17 years at the club. And I believe it's 96 substitute, like bench appearances, not appearances, but sitting on the bench. He's sat on the bench 96 times, I believe, in 17 years, which is not a lot. And he's just made his
third choice.
And he's been one of the better keepers that they've had.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For quite a while, because I think he did really well.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Missed a trick there. Who else did that? Who else fucked a keeper over for 10 years? Oh, that was right. Us with Martinez. Yeah, so it has been done before.
Yeah.
Ange Postecoglou, when he was interviewed. Now, have you seen his interview?
I've seen the most
fucking ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Have you got anything to say today, Ange? Ahem. If all things were even and balanced, mate, we would have won. Well, what exactly do you mean by that, Ange? I mean by that is, if all things were equal and balanced, we would have won today. Yeah, but... Are you talking about the officials? No, what I'm talking about is if it was all even and balanced today, we would have won. Somebody needed to fucking slap him and go, stop being a cunt and just answer the fucking question. Stop being a dick.
You know what it is? So, as we pointed out on many occasions, players are held accountable for their actions. Coaches and managers are held accountable for their actions. But you know who isn't held accountable for their actions? Referees.
Unofficial, yeah, I totally agree.
So,
I totally agree.
Yeah, but the officials didn't do anything wrong.
But what I'm saying is...
I agree.
You can't call them out. And because you're not allowed to call them out, because you're not allowed to say anything, because you're not allowed to point out any potential faults, any failures that they've made, even if they make an absolute glaring, obvious failure, you're not allowed to call them out on it because they're not allowed to be held accountable.
I get
so,
that.
So, he's trying to be clever, and by clever I mean... being a complete fucking idiot.
Yeah.
He's trying to do that. You know when people are really thick but they think they're being clever and then they're quite smug about it?
We all know people like that.
Yeah, so he's doing that. He's trying to make that offhanded comment like he's clever. And he's not. He's not clever about what he's doing. He's trying to make an offhanded comment saying that the ref had bias without saying the ref had bias.
Yeah, but don't just repeat the same pointless sentence 5 times.
But that's how he's
because that just... It's like I've had exes that argue like that. You'll bring up a point and they'll use one line, and then you'll bring up a different point and they just fire the same line back.
Yeah,
at you.
Yeah, but that's 90% of the wokey lefty world.
And it just
you say something that they don't like, they cling on to a word that is completely irrelevant and just stand there shouting.
Honestly, I think he should have been sacked on the spot just for that interview. I think that's how pathetic it was. I think he needs to grow up, man up, and deal with questions a little bit better than just repeating yourself. It's so fucking annoying.
I mean, said incident.
I don't think Tim
Ridge
wants us to record this episode. He's booted the laptop.
I mean, said incident as well. That is frustration. I'm sorry. He kicks the ball at Joe Linton from not too far away,
about 4
his
yards.
His hand doesn't move at all. That's
it's next
to his body.
It's next to him. Yeah, it's fine.
He
There's
then plays the ball
all.
To somebody else.
It's in a natural position.
It's in a natural position. It's a goal. That's part of the rules. Yeah. If it hadn't hit his hand, it changed the direction, but...
Man, you were winning. And to be fair, it was a bloody good finish as well. And it's by the centre-back, as far as I can see. I think Martinez has just lashed one into the roof of the net.
I mean, that put me off track. So, for me, goal all day long, not handball.
There was no way that was a handball.
No.
There was not a chance in hell that was a handball. Yes, it clearly hit his hand. But when you have it launched at you from that distance, if that was against Arsenal, I don't think I would complain about that.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We've had a couple where it's hit somebody's hand, and I'm like, you're not getting out of the way of that no matter what.
Yeah.
So you can accept it. Well, obviously most people can accept it. He clearly can't. But I personally, I would accept that. I'd be okay with that.
I mean, overall, I would say that Newcastle were good for their result. Probably deserved it 2-1. There we go.
I would say Newcastle definitely deserved the result.
Yeah, they did.
Tottenham were absolutely abysmal. Again, like, Tottenham will show up and they will either be awful or really, really good. But it was a good hit, wasn't it? It's so rare that they're really, really good that, like, I'm surprised their fans have any fucking hope left in them at the beginning of any season. Like, they need to do something, and they need to do it fast, because they're shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quite frankly, they are shocking.
Yeah, that's true. I did hear one Spurs fan on TalkSport, and he actually said, like, there was a... No, he was like, what do you expect? And it's like, what do you mean? And they're like, what do you want about it? And he's like, we do it all every year. We make out like we're going to win the league, and like, but we don't. We just don't
it's
do anything.
Same as
we
Arsenal,
just do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, same as Arsenal. Every season, even the pundits at the minute, oh, Arsenal are going to challenge for the title. Are they fuck? We've still got an assistant manager in charge. And he's proved that, because what did I say a couple of weeks ago? We've shown now that we're a one-man team. Without Odegaard, we're nothing.
Yeah.
Who was on the bench? Odegaard. Our one man that keeps us going, the one man that keeps us ticking, he benched him. To play who? His fucking mate Marino, who, by the way, was shit.
I thought he dropped him for players mate Jorginho to make him captain.
What, either fucking way. It's like, just don't play them. They're not good enough. Jorginho is a good backup, but don't start him when he's there. And Marino, he needs to fuck off back to where he came from, because he's more infuriating than fucking Xhaka. No, I would not rather have Xhaka back, but I don't think Marino should be on the pitch. Not at all. And Sterling, Jesus and fucking Zinchenko shouldn't be anywhere near. I don't give a fuck how many he scored in the last two games. Both, by the way, against fucking Crystal Palace. Right, it took 17-year-old Ethan Nwaneri to score a goal. Who's playing out of position? Because he doesn't play in Saka's position. He actually plays in Odegaard's position. Or Marino's, who was shit. Anyway, we might as well go into the Arsenal game now. I've already started crying about it. So, we've got Arsenal 1, Brighton 1. Which should have been a walkover for Arsenal. Nwaneri got the first goal of the game. Good finish. Well played. Arsenal were well on top at that point. Everyone that I've seen online was banging on about Raya's save where he clawed it off the line.
Yeah.
See what happened before that? And I mean directly before that. Did you see what happened directly before that, Tin?
No.
You?
No, I think
I'll tell you what happened.
The game after.
A really basic shot straight at David Raya, who fumbles it. It goes over the top of his gloves, and that's why he had to scramble back to claw it out of the net. So all these people going, that was a great save. That was an amazing save. Oh, David Raya was so good. No, because all he had to do was just catch a basic ball that was going straight to his face, and he fluffed it and fumbled it, and that's why it nearly went in the net. So don't be telling me that Raya made a fucking great save, because he didn't. He recovered a stupid mistake. Didn't make a great save. There's different things. A great save's very different from recovering your mess. So, yeah, that's mine. Complete bitch. Again, only team in history to concede a penalty for an accidental clash of heads in the area. But then it was Anthony Taylor, and he has been a prick to Arsenal all season this season.
I mean, the thing is, though, it's like all the pundits that after the game are all set Stonewall penalty.
And it clearly wasn't. I'm sorry, but it wasn't.
I guess the thing is now they've set a precedent now.
Any clash of heads in the area is a penalty. Any clash of heads in the area now is a penalty. How do you know that Saliba initiated that? You don't. It's just a clash of heads. Any time heads meet in the area, penalty. But you know it's not going to happen because people don't get sent off for kicking the ball away. Trossard does, and Rice does. Nobody else does. Because they don't get booked for it anymore. There's so many things, and I don't want to be that guy, but there's so many things going against Arsenal this season. Starting with the fucking manager, by the way, which is the owner's fucking fault. Not that was nothing to do with officials. Because I don't know if I've mentioned it, but Arteta's shit.
Well, it's like this every bit. I mean, you go on about your ones. Crystal Palace's goal against Southampton, their first goal, is a foul on Ramsdale. All day long. Everybody says it's a foul on Ramsdale.
I actually agree with that. Tin Ribs, do you want to chime in?
Even Crystal Palace manager said it's a foul everywhere in Europe.
I think 100% that's a foul on Ramsdale.
It is.
There's no two ways about it. There's not a doubt in my mind. But also, once they went 1-0 up, I actually think, football-wise, Southampton had the better of that game for a long period. But when you guys get into the last third, clueless.
It's because we were 1-0 up. We haven't got a clue what to do at 1-0 up. We've not been there.
Absolutely clueless when you're in the last third of the pitch.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Oh, my word.
What goes
That's
wrong?
A good finish.
Who was that? Gakpo.
Gakpo.
So it's now 1-1 between Liverpool and United. And Gakpo's just scored, apparently, a great goal, but I didn't see it. You guys are absolutely out of ideas in the last third of the pitch. Mm. Because the football was great. You played some really good football, some nice passing moves. You were getting the ball around, you were sweeping it left to right, doing the right thing, making the opposition work. As soon as you get to a certain point, all your players just go like... It's like they just don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's really weird.
It might be offside.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, a different
I hope
player.
So. No, I hope so.
No, I think it was a different player.
Call it offside anyway. No. I'm okay with it. It's Liverpool. Nobody wants them to score. We're just looking at... I think he is onside, actually.
Yeah, it was another player that was off. I was hoping he was going to play it to him.
That was disappointing. Because, you know...
He
as you
completely
all know,
did him for a kipper there. And
we're massive fans of Liverpool on this
corner.
Podcast. So we're really pleased to see them equalise. We're really happy. Oh, and there's Jota celebrating on the sideline. You're not even in the team, mate. Sit your fucking ass down. Sorry, did I say that out loud? So next game. Ye olde Man City. Man City 4, West Ham 1. West Ham were poor. Really poor.
Yeah.
I think West Ham had chances. Yeah. And they should have done better with them, but they turned into Southampton for the day and decided they didn't want to wait a cow's arse. Mm. They did have a couple of chances, but they made it very easy for City at the back, I think. Yeah. Their defending was quite poor. The marking was quite poor. I think they quite honestly probably deserve to get a bit of a thrashing, to be honest. As harsh as that may sound, it is what it is. What are you going to do? And then your guys, Saints 0, Brentford 5. Honestly, I think your guys, after they scored the third, I think you guys just give up. I think you just completely give up.
Yeah.
And it was clear by what was going on the pitch that you just had no interest in what was going on at all. Which is a bit of a shame, really, because, you know, I'd like to see you guys escape now. Just because it would be one of the greatest escapes ever, I would like to see Saints escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, but I'd like to see it. I'm not going to lie. I'm one that would like to see you survive now because of how shit the first half of the season's been. What about you? You probably wouldn't, would you? You don't give a shit.
No.
No. Didn't think so. Next game, Aston Villa.
I think we need to go down.
I just want to add, the misery that I had to go through at the end of last season, I want to see that.
Yeah, but that was my fault for brutalising you. That wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Oh, piss off when we walked it. You come in with Joe. Oh, look, we won. even though they were the shittest team on the pitch.
Oh, I think your start that day was Southampton in the Premier League.
Yeah, it was.
Exactly. If I remember rightly.
So
yeah,
I want to see that fucking misery.
Yeah.
When we go, start of the day. Jim Jam wants to start with the shittest team in Premier League history and we've gone to the Championship.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
Preempting your stat for the end of the season here.
It's probably going to happen at this rate.
It's probably accurate.
That's upsetting for you. I don't care because I'm not a Saints fan, but it's upsetting for you.
I mean, I think there's just too much wrong at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree.
I did say we weren't ready.
I would agree.
I was right.
You were right, but I mean, it's like you could still put some effort in even if your team's not the best. Do you know what I mean?
We've been unlucky as well. You know, some of the VAR decisions that have gone against us have been really bad.
To be fair, there has been a couple that even I remember.
And the problem is, it's like, Wolves complained a lot last season, but they weren't in the position that we are, and we're on 6 points, whereas these decisions have probably cost us a good, maybe...
Well, at least another six.
At least six, maybe even 10.
Mm.
And at 16 points, we're still battling relegation, but we're actually in the battle.
What does the table look like now? What do we look like at the bottom of the table? Obviously, we know. Saints are screwed.
Yeah, with 6 points. but yeah, so the table looks a lot like misery. 6 points Southampton, 14 points Leicester, 16 points Ipswich, 16 points Wolves, 17 points Everton.
So yeah, depending
Everton.
On your goal difference, your level to getting out of the relegation.
So you know,
zone,
some of
really,
them decisions
you?
That maybe them 10 points, we're on 16, you know. Some of them, like Wolves, maybe may not have won that game because obviously that Manning goal that got disallowed, so they might be on less points. Leicester, they'd be on less points because we should have beat them with a penalty and stuff like that. So you look at it, and the table looks different without them decisions. But you know, the apologies that we've got from the FA for incorrect decisions, that means nothing when we've get relegated.
Well, if you're losing hundreds of millions of pounds, then apologies really don't mean that much.
You know, yeah. Wolves are frustrated because they lost money, but they stayed in the Premier League. We're going to get relegated and
lose
we're
money
gonna
and
lose a hell
lose
of a lot
status.
More. So,
yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's not good. Speaking of Leicester, Aston Villa 2, Leicester 1.
Yeah.
Leicester are terrible. They are not looking good at all. And I can see Saints and Leicester comfortably getting relegated at this point. I think there's only one spot up for grabs, and I'm not sure Ipswich are going to remain in it.
Well, I'm still hoping the Scum make it.
United?
Well, they're in a relegation battle, according to their manager.
I mean, to be fair, they probably are in a relegation battle.
Come on, how good would that be? Old Trafford's falling apart. They get relegated. They're conning their fans. It just...
Can't argue with any of that.
I don't know. I think if they get relegated, I think they implode.
Oh.
I think the financial implications would probably be too big.
Yeah, can we not get me turned on air? That would be a really bad thing to do.
That I could have gone the rest of my life without hearing, by the way.
But no, seriously, how amazing would it be for Man United to go down?
It'd be funny.
That's what I mean.
I mean, I'm not going to lie that I'd enjoy it. I can't lie.
There aren't many people who wouldn't.
No, you're probably right, actually.
The thing that worries me now is what if... I know Man City have now won 2 in a row. What if Man City win every game from now till the end of the season?
Which could be done.
How far off are we from winning the title if that happens? With the other teams and the way that they're dropping points.
Well, in all fairness, I think a lot of it will come down to the pure fact of...
I think they are too far away.
Yeah. Well, hang on. So they're 12 points behind Liverpool.
Yeah.
So even if they win every single game, Liverpool have still got to drop 12 points. Obviously, they would lose 3 to Man City. So they've got to drop another 9 points. If they've got to drop another 9 points, that's... quite a lot to drop. It doesn't sound that much, 3 wins, but when you start looking into it realistically, that's 9 losses.
Yeah. It's very, very unlikely that Man City are going to... They're going to struggle to get in the top 4.
I don't think they'll
realistically, they're going to struggle to get top 4, but There's just that part of me that thinks, what if they actually did go from now till the end of the season and won
every
single
behind
game?
Chelsea.
Who, City?
Yeah.
They're only 2 points behind Chelsea.
I don't think City are going to go to the end of the season and win every single game. I don't think they've got it in them anymore.
I think City get back
into
the top
four. I certainly
don't
think they've got it in them without Rodri. Not a chance.
City finishing top four. Easy.
Yeah, but I don't think they've got what it...
Sorry. I don't think they've got what it takes to win every single game from now to the end of the season without Rodri.
No,
I don't think they're capable of it.
No, but the question was if they did.
They still won the league. Not from where they are. They're too far behind.
12 points.
That's a lot.
But that's
it
my point.
It is a lot.
But I'm saying 12 points is. However, they're only 6 points behind second place. So
where's he going?
They could.
It looks like he's booking out one of the gaffers.
Or is it a red card?
No, it's VAR.
Oh, no, we're checking VAR.
For
who's it for?
Penalty?
I think it's for Liverpool, so I don't think it was. I think that's fine.
Yeah, but it's at Anfield, so they'll give it.
It is at Anfield.
So Man City will finish top four.
He's given it.
I absolutely, wholeheartedly think they'll finish top four.
What a surprise.
I can see City finishing top four.
Let's be honest. Let's look at the table right now. Forest are absolutely tearing it up. Will Forest maintain it?
I think they will.
I don't know.
I think they will.
I hope they do.
I think they will. I think they. But I'd like to see them maintain it as well.
Out of the teams in the top four, I would say Chelsea are the least likely to remain. They're very inconsistent.
I'd agree.
I think Newcastle will
pip
Chelsea.
Fucking dire lately as well. Chelsea have.
Yeah, I think Newcastle will be above Chelsea. Newcastle are in great form.
I can
Chelsea
see that.
Are 50-50, but their manager's not as good as people think. He's a bit of a book.
I can get behind that.
We saw him buckle under pressure at Leicester. Everyone says, oh yeah, but they won the league. They completely capitulated at one point. The only reason Leicester won the league was because we bottled it better than they did. The league was ours to win.
Better than they did.
Oh, absolutely.
Jesus.
The league was ours to win with about 8 games to go. Admittedly, we had 3 games where I stated to you that the referees were against us, and there was 3 very dodgy decisions, and even you admitted they weren't exactly...
They were fine.
Yeah.
They were fine. They were fucked up, but they were fine.
Yeah. But like I said, the FA need us in the championship. We generate way too much money for them. We genuinely do. Which was why I think we should trade with United, because United would still generate quite a lot of money for the championship, especially with that massive skip. I mean,
skip
stadium.
Old Trashford,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we bottled it last season, and we're the only reason the only reason Leicester won that league was because we bottled it, not because the manager's any good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an arrogant prick. And I loved the fact that he came to Ellen Road like, oh, it's just another game. And then we spanked him 3-0. Just another game, dickhead. But no, he's not very good. So Chelsea will drop off because without Palmer, they're nothing.
Even with Palmer, they're not doing great at the moment.
Already.
Yeah, Liverpool are 2-1 up, by the way.
I know.
But what I'm saying is...
I'm just letting the listeners know.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Palmer, I mean, they already know
they
the full-time result.
As well.
So if Palmer doesn't have a good game, Chelsea don't do very well.
No, I agree.
So I can't see Chelsea staying up. I think Newcastle will then pip up. So the question then is...
By staying up, just to clarify, by staying up, he means staying up in the top four.
Yeah.
Not staying up in the Premier League. Before anyone starts messaging us and go, obviously they're going to stay up. He knows. He just on about top four. So I just
so he's not going to put that part in
I
this
just
clip.
Thought I'd clarify that
when he
bit.
Puts that short in, he's going to only put you saying Chelsea are going
to... The whole clip is just going to be, I don't think Chelsea will stay up.
Yeah.
So with that said, I think Chelsea will drop. Newcastle will go above them. Well, Man City, to get in the top four, still have to go ahead of those two.
Yeah.
Yes.
But my question is, do Forest maintain enough of a charge to stay above Man City?
Yes.
You think?
Yeah,
they
100%.
Can do, as long as they beat all the teams that they need to beat.
I think they will, honestly, because I think they're brilliant.
They can lose some games.
And I think they're a brilliant team.
Yeah.
They may not have... outstanding individuals, albeit Chris Wood's very good and
Morgan Gibbs-White
is brilliant. But other than them two, they haven't got standout players, but they've got a great team. They remind me a lot of Leicester and Wales when Wales hit the Euros.
Their right back's name?
Who are we on about?
Aina or something.
Yeah, Aina.
Oh, Forrest, yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's
brilliant. Yeah. He is really, really good. So, he is really good. But the last Forest right back that I said was going to be amazing went to Spurs and turned out to be shit. So I'm not going to praise anymore Forest
players.
Anyone
who goes to Spurs seems to just get ruined.
Yes, Archie Gray being one of them. That, it still annoys me, you know, that we didn't try and sign Archie Gray. And now we're playing Jorginho as a fucking DM.
So, as things stand, Man United are 6 points off relegation.
Seven. Oh, no, six, because they are losing. Yeah, they're losing again. Sorry, my head was still on 1-1. It's not. It's Liverpool 2, Man United 1.
So,
which, incidentally, has got me more fantasy points because... what's his name? Mo Salah's just scored a penalty. So he's got me some more points. But still disappointed about it because I don't want Liverpool to win. In fact, none of us want Liverpool to win, but we also hate United, so it's a difficult day for us today. Difficult day. So, yeah, thoughts are with us. Right, I think what we're going to do is we're going to leave the first part there. We're going to go to a break and we shall be back with you beautiful, beautiful people very shortly. Hello and welcome back from the break. We normally play Who Am I Now, but we're going to skip that this week. And we'll bring that back next week because we're only doing two parts this week. We're going to go back to our regular three-part series next week. And we'll bring back Who Am I then. We've just finished watching Liverpool versus Man United, which was a glorious 2-2 draw, but should have.
Harry Maguire!
Harry Maguire!
It should have been a 3-2 win to Man United, because right at the death, Xerxes, who, by the way, I criticised as he was coming on the pitch, and then played an absolute blinder, and made one of the best defensive tackles I've seen
in
years.
Maybe he's playing in the wrong position.
I reckon he is, you know. He should be a DM, by the look of what he was doing there.
Yeah.
But my God, that tackle was superb. He played it across anyway, and Maguire from
8 yards, 13 yards.
I think he was just past the penalty spot, so it's probably about 13 yards out. Blazed it into orbit, as opposed to just putting his foot on it and getting on target. But I guess that's the difference between a striker and a defender. So it was disappointing United didn't win, but it was pleasing that Liverpool didn't win as well. Not from, obviously, Arsenal's point of view, because we've still got Arteta in charge, so we wouldn't win if somebody handed us the fucking trophy. No doubt he'd drop it. So how do you feel about your season so far, and how do you think it's going? How do you feel? Where do you think you're going to be? Do you think you're going to get promoted?
Yes, I think we're going to get promoted. However...
He said that last year.
Yeah,
he said they were going to win the league.
He did say
that. And we literally almost did. That's the annoying thing. No, so one of my big issues over the last couple of weeks has been a lot of people getting on Meslier's back. And I've sort of defended him.
Yeah. Not this week.
I ain't. There's no way I'm defending him this week.
Yeah, we know that because we're on the end of your messages.
Yeah, he cost us that game against Hull.
I was about to slag him off then when he said, everyone's been slagging off Meslier. I was about to jump on him. Do you see that?
Yeah.
I know, yeah. And then you turn it around and you admitted...
Yeah, well, normally I defend him, but I can't defend him this week. He was left wandering around in no man's land for the first goal.
Oops.
The second goal, he's literally... Now, if the ball's high and you can't catch it, you palm it away from goal.
Or tip it over for a corner.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so away
personally,
from the goal.
Personally, I just knock it back over.
Over is away from the goal. It's not in the goal area.
Yeah.
He has jumped up. So his hands are above the crossbar in order to pat the ball back into play.
Yeah.
Right in front of him and right in front of a striker.
Yeah.
What the Jesus Christ was he doing?
He was being nice to Hull.
He was being very fucking nice
to Hull.
The thing is when you slagged him off by message, I'm like, I bet he's being a bit harsh there. And he made us watch the highlights before we started the podcast so we'd know what he was on about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... there's not much defence for
that,
I'll be honest.
Here's another question for you, though. Because I made a point to me when I was messaging you. Did Daryl bet on Leeds?
I don't know.
You don't know?
We need to ask.
I know. I thought he might have asked.
If he did, I won't be too happy with him. But
I'll send him a message and see if we can get an answer before the end
before
of the pod.
Before the end of the pod.
But yeah, so for me, on the first goal, he's left in no man's land. On the second goal, he's had an absolute mare. He either should have left it or pushed it up. What he's done, I don't know. But at that point, we were in comfortable control of the game. We're 3-1 up. With 10 minutes to go, he does that. And Hull just hammered us. Mm. And I said, they will get the point now. They will get a draw from this. And sure enough, with continued pressure, they send a cross in. And we all know that Flapper is not very good on crosses. So what does he do? He
went for a ball that the defender clearly...
He was getting nowhere near.
No.
Didn't shout. The defender heads it clear, which then leaves Flapper completely out of position.
To get set.
And he's not set. And then the ball just runs past him. Yes, he sees it a bit late. But what's he doing?
No. It wasn't his best. And that comes after a 1-1 draw against Blackburn as well on New Year's Day.
And it also comes after the 2-1 win. Sorry! The 2-2 draw with Sunderland when he overstepped and let the ball pass him at the last minute. Mm. He has cost us a lot of points this season. And I have defended him and defended him and defended him. Mm. But I can't now. And I'm hoping...
Yeah, I mean that... Even for me, and I'm like, oh, I think Tin's been a bit harsh there. Even for me, I watched that and thought, that was fucking dreadful.
I think Darlow needs to go in goals for a few games.
Mm.
That's a personal opinion that seems to be quite broad from the Leeds fan base. But we've got a Welsh international who's played really well on the international stage. He's not playing for us, which is a shame because I actually really rate Carl Darlow. He might not have those world-class saves that Meslier once in a blue moon pulls out of his arse. But I just think having a more stable goalkeeper, someone who's...
Do you think that's what he's going to be then? Is
Darlow, yes.
Do you think Darlow's going to be a more stable or more regular...
Yeah. I think his distribution's better. I think his handling is better. His control of the area is definitely better. And he doesn't flap so much.
So you cash in on Meslier if somebody came
Meslier.
In for him.
I quite like
Meslier.
Well,
there's two clubs linked with him at the moment. And I've got a feeling if the money comes in the January transfer, we will cash in.
Mm.
And we've been linked with two goalkeepers. One I've never heard of. Don't know who he is. But apparently we've been interested in him for a while. And the other one is Keller.
I just don't see Keller this season going when he's is sort of still playing for Liverpool-ish and he's getting his chance. It's, but I think he does need to move on, especially with Liverpool buying the, is it the Georgian keeper?
Yeah.
As Alisson's...
I think they've bought him to prepare for Keller, for Keller going.
He's too good to be sitting on the bench.
He's a good keeper, isn't he? Really is a good keeper.
I really rate him.
Mm.
And
well, I'm not sure if he'll lower his standards to go to Leeds. Like,
that's the problem. Would he do that? Because
I think he signs for him in the summer when they get promoted.
I think he signs for him in January if they go for him. Because if Leeds say, look, if you join us, you've got guaranteed first team football. He's at a team that are basically top of the league.
Would you want to loan him or would you want to make it permanent straight away?
If you loan him with a...
Option to buy.
No, a guarantee to buy at the end of the season.
Like Raya.
Basically.
Like Taylor Harbour-Bellis.
And that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Then it wouldn't be so bad because you go, well, okay, we'll loan him for 6 months, but at the end of this six months, we have to buy him for such and such.
Yeah.
And then you know you're guaranteed to get him at the end of the season. Not an option to buy, but a definite, you have to buy him. I'd take that as well. I think that would be quite good. Because if you pay enough of a loan for him, it'll lower the transfer fee anyway in the summer. Yeah. So it might make him actually more affordable for you if you do it that way.
I mean, there's going to be a good keeper up for sale in the summer anyway.
Why do you want Raya?
Because I've got no doubt that Ramsdale's got a relegation clause in his contract.
Oh, he will. He will. He'll definitely have one.
I've had a response.
He did, didn't he?
Well, it's got a few laughing faces on it. He's put, yes, I did. I think I need to stop now, though. Tin Roofs isn't happy.
I love it.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, definitely not happy.
Daryl did bet on you. Now you know why you didn't win. Because every time he bets on you,
we fuck it up.
You mess up, and something happens. So Yeah, carry on, Daryl. Keep it up.
But no.
Oh, remind me at the end. I need to give you that shirt, by the way. Totally not podcast related.
Yes,
probably
I know
shouldn't have shouted that over the airways. Yeah. Yeah, we've mentioned it a couple of times. Though Daryl's got a football team that he runs with young kids.
Yes.
And my son has recently joined through Daryl's kindness. And Zach went to play for them a few weeks ago. And we still have the football shirt. So I told Daryl I would wash it and give it tin ribs. And I keep forgetting to give it tin ribs. So because it entered my mind, even though we're recording, I figured I'd shout it out
to the world.
For everyone to know. Because the guys in Singapore, I'm sure, are desperate to know what's going on with Zach and Daryl's football team.
Yeah,
But if you do want updates, I'm quite happy to give them.
I think we'll still win the league. I do think we are the best team in the league. And when you actually look at our players, we really, we should be winning the league.
Yeah, you probably should, to be fair.
So hopefully, we've got the right management, we've got the right ownership, we've got the right...
How often do football teams actually live up to their expectations, though? Because it's not very often, is it?
No, but when you look at...
And you are doing that at the minute. Yeah. So you can't really ask for much more, apart from the odd error. So, and Meslier's not made a lot of mistakes, has he? He's just... You're saying he has made a lot of mistakes.
He's made a few. I've backed him on a few of them. They've sort of been like, but...
I mean, you will get promoted this season. I'm like 99% sure that you will.
Do you want to bet on it?
Do you think your team...
I'm going to get Daryl to bet on it. Yeah.
Do you think your team currently can survive in the Premier League?
We'd need a few strengthening players.
I'm not sure you would. I think you'd be able to survive as you... It wouldn't be comfortable.
I mean, Bamford is proven in the Premier League.
I will fucking slap you.
Proven to be shit.
No, he did all right in the Premier League. He's been shit in the Championship. He scored a few goals in the Premier League.
He had 19 goals, didn't he?
Do you want Jesus?
No.
He scores less than Bamford.
No.
We're meant to be title challengers.
Yeah.
So I think definitely there's a few areas that
we need a left need back. Improvement. That would be the first. The screaming glaring ones for me is we'd need a number 10. Someone who's very creative. We definitely need a left back. Those two are like the absolute must. There's a lot of rumours that Stroke's on his way out. Stroke is injured. But that was like all of a sudden he's gone from playing.
Was not convincing at all the way you said that. By the way, I wasn't at all convincing. He's injured.
So he got transfer protection injury.
Yeah, that's my thinking because all of a sudden was it Tottenham and Palace? I want to say.
Oh well, if he gets to Tottenham, his career's over.
I think it's Tottenham and Palace are interested, and then all of a sudden we hit the new year, and he's injured. And I'm sort of like...
He went like that, by the way. Yeah. Air quotes. Injured.
So,
like he doesn't believe it.
I'm not sure he's going to be with us much longer, which is a shame because Stroke and Rodon are a really good team. Mm. And if we did go up, I think Rodon's good enough. I think Stroke's good enough. I think Ampadu's good enough. I will put my money on Tanaka being good enough for the Premier League.
He seems really good to him, doesn't he? I haven't seen a lot of
him. Phenomenal.
But when I have
one off game so far.
Yeah, when I have watched him, he has seemed as though he's on it all the time. Yeah.
I just don't know if any of the strikers are...
This is what I was about to say. Dan James...
Yeah, but look at it. Arsenal's got no fucking good
strikers.
Dan James
has done it at that level.
And I think Dan James is good enough to be part of the team.
You think he might be a sub player or playing 60 minutes?
If Ramazani starts playing better, because he was really good prior to his injury, then he's come back and he's sort of looked a bit 50-50. Mm. But then Ananto's got to get better.
Yeah.
Ramazani's got to get better. Pirro is at this
moment.
He
needs to score early.
But yeah.
He needs an early Premier League goal.
He's.
Because I think that makes a big difference, because you look at a player like, let's say, Delap at Ipswich.
Yeah.
Struggled in the Championship a little bit. Didn't really set it alight. But obviously, because he got an early goal at Ipswich, he scored a fair few. And now he's been like, why have Man City sold him? He's showing his quality now in there. So basically, if he gets a chance, he can put it away. Smodic, he's got his goals early in there. Unfortunately, like the Southampton ones that we've signed, they've not scored early. And now they're really struggling now, because the longer it goes, the harder it gets.
And
so I think
because
Pirro scores early in the Premier League. In the first couple games, I think he might score 10 goals for you.
Yeah.
in the season. But it's like I don't see many more than 10, but...
But Joseph started the season, like pre-season, he was amazing. And then we played him in our first game, and it was like he was trying too hard.
Mm.
And then it's sort of, it's like it's almost got into his head now. And he can't get a goal. Or if he does, he gets like one right at the death from a substitution point. Mm. But then when he gets his start, he seems... He's trying too hard, and it's like it's become this thing now for him. And it's basically made him go from the best striker in the club to not really being in the question of do I start or not.
He's in the Bamford.
He's still better than Bamford. I mean, let's not go quite that low. But I just think that if we go up, we need to do like what we did last time we went up. We brought in Rodrigo. We brought in Rafinha. We brought in... Okay, at the time, he looked like a good signing and he wasn't, but we brought in Llorente. We brought in Robin Koch. You know, we brought in these players who were good strengthening players.
Haven't you got that guy from Spurs? Solomon.
Yeah.
What's he like?
I mean, he's getting highly rated on there. And I think he was part of a good goal that you scored against...
Well, he looks like he works hard.
He does work hard, but he's a bit frustrating.
Again, I haven't seen a great amount of Leeds games this season, but he looks like he works his arse off.
Did you beat your team 1-0 late on? Like 80th minute or something. Can't think. It was before the Blackburn game.
I'm glad you remember.
When he came on and lashed it into the roof of the net.
I wasn't thinking that one. I'm not sure if he scored. I think it was Aronson that scored, but Solomon played a big part of it with his passing.
Oh, no. That goal, yes.
Which was a very good goal, which we didn't talk about.
No.
Great build-up play.
But it was the Derby goal.
Yes, Derby
goal. It was Aronson's run was
great build-up. Yeah.
So Aronson's another player I wanted to bring up. He's our number 10 at the moment, and he's been absolutely brilliant. Considering he came over, took a lot of flack. For not being good enough. Then he immediately jumped ship when we went down. Now, obviously, we let a lot of players go on loan because we needed to for financial reasons. We even let players we didn't want to let go because of financial reasons. Mm.
Sometimes you've got no choice.
No, he didn't do particularly great back out on loan. But when he came back, he dug his heels in straight away and said, I am staying. To a mixed reaction from the fans. But he made it very clear, the second he came back, I am staying.
See, I think
I don't think you were too pleased straight away, weren't you? So he's earned it back from you.
Absolutely. I wasn't happy when he first came back and it was like, I'm staying. It's like, no, you didn't want to stay before. But
did he or was he pushed?
I don't know.
Because it's starting to sound like, if he's come back and he's gone, I'm just staying now, I don't care.
It's a bit like the Dan James thing.
Yeah, it sounds like he's been pushed out rather than he actually wanted to go. And that, for me, I want players like that on my club.
Dan James, when we forced him to Fulham. And stuff like that. I'm starting to think that maybe he did get forced out the door a little bit for financial reasons, maybe. But he stuck around. He scored the equaliser against Pompey, became a bit of a hero, and then within 2 minutes,
missed
an absolute sitter.
Yes.
And became the villain again.
I saw the highlights of that.
But over the
season, it was a bad miss.
Over the season, he's really winning the fans over. And he does. He puts his heart and soul into every game. He's good championship level. Exceptional championship level. I'm not sure he's the number 10 for premiership level. Mm. He's a good squad player.
I mean, he might surprise you.
He might do. But we've got a lot of players who in the championship are good. I'm not sure they'll cut it at the Premier League. I think we need, if we do go up, we need a new goalkeeper. Unless we get Kelleher. And if we get Kelleher now, then yeah, we're good.
You're set.
We need a left back.
I mean, who are you thinking for left back then? The only one I can think of that would probably do you the world of good, I don't think would join you because he wants to go back to Celtic, and that's Tierney.
Tierney would be amazing.
I think Tierney would be a great signing for
amazing.
Leeds. Personally, I love him at Arsenal, but he just can't stay
fit. There's a couple of left backs that are out there. And obviously, Ipswich have got Leif Davis, ex-Leeds lad.
If they go down, they could stay up.
Yeah, but my problem with Leif Davis is I do have that soft spot for him. But he's so big into his clangers.
Did he take Kyle Walker-Peters?
So big.
Hell yes.
You say like he's so big into his clangers, like
be
he
on
does
a free
it intentionally.
In the summer.
I'd take Kyle Walker-Peters in a heartbeat.
Because he plays so well at left back and he can play right back as well.
I mean, Bogle has been really good for us. Yeah. So I can't really... And he was really good at
you carry on slagging him off saying you definitely need a new fullback.
But we do need a left back. We massively need a left back. I think we need a number 10.
I think Kyle Walker-Peters would be a brilliant signing for you.
I think he would. I think bigger suitors will come in. And by bigger suitors, I don't mean bigger clubs. I mean teams that are already established in the Premier League.
It depends on where he wants to live as well, I think.
That has a lot to do with it, because Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham will sign players that Liverpool and United want simply because it's they're London.
Now, I know we talked a lot about him, and obviously he left in the summer. Both of you weren't happy about it. But he's now playing regularly now for Spurs. Archie Gray at centre-back.
Waste.
But I don't think he's doing too bad in that position at the moment.
That's because he's very versatile.
Yeah.
But it's a waste. He's a fantastic DM.
Yeah.
I would...
Does he get stuck there now at Tottenham?
I think...
Does he ever get to play that CDM role for Spurs? Or
Not Postecoglou.
Archie Gray?
No, he's a centre-back, isn't he?
I know he's a centre-back now.
No. I think that's where he's just...
And now he's destined to be
Me at Arsenal, I would have him as a DM anyway. Mm. I'd have him playing above Partey and above Jorginho.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'd have me fucking Nan playing above Marino. Because he's fucking useless. But for me, if we had Archie Gray DM, Declan Rice on the left, Odegaard on the right-hand side, that's a cracking midfield, well, that is.
I think he's. It's good for him to get some minutes now. I think he's good for England.
Why? Why is him playing centre-back good for England?
No, it's not.
Him playing CDM would be better for England, but him playing regularly football in the Premier League now is doing him good for England because he's getting used to the pace of the Premier League. And if he's going to play that CDM role, because he's playing that far back, when he's got that freedom, I think only his anticipation and his tackling is only going to improve.
I don't think it's going to do him any harm learning to play.
No, I think it's very smart because a CDM does have to play.
I'm not sure if it's smart because I don't think Postecoglou's got a smart bone in his fucking body. I think the guy's clueless. But I think he's doing it because he's forced to do it. It just inadvertently means it's helping.
Because I think if you get a corner, Gray out
because it's
Archie Gray stays back.
That centre back as well.
I don't see Archie Gray as a player that's going to dominate in the box.
No, he's going to sit back.
He's going to be a sit back. So
your two centre backs are going to go up, and he's going to play centre back while you're attacking.
And
the corner.
If you play a back four, obviously you sit in at centre back as a CDM when you drop into a back five, don't you? When you defend it. In theory, if you're doing it properly,
yeah.
And him doing a lot of this role now, although he's forced to, I think it's brilliant for him. I think it'll do him an absolute
Any minutes in the Premier League is going to do him good, but I would prefer to see him playing his position.
I just worry if Van der Ven and Romero come back, he then
gets on the bench.
Dropped to the bench.
He's on the bench. And he There's no way get he's getting
the,
on the pitch.
And he doesn't even because get the CDM spot.
Postecoglou's not playing him as a CDM, so he clearly doesn't see him as a first-choice CDM. And again, it's going to be another player.
But then does he then get frustrated?
Of course he does.
Because he's been playing week in, week out.
Wouldn't you if you went somewhere and all of a sudden you just sat on the bench again?
Yeah.
You'd be pissed off and all, because I know I would. Like, okay, you've gone to stand in, but you've played well. You've done your job. It's not fucking Archie Gray's fault that Tottenham are getting spanked every week. They're just awful. Like, absolutely awful. They're that bad that it's actually not fun taking the piss out of them anymore, because it's just expected that they're going to get hammered.
Yeah.
It's taken all the fun out of it.
Does Ange get sacked?
No, because Daniel Levy's all right with it. Because he's a fucking weirdo. I don't think Levy actually owns a club, does he? He's just in that position to pull the purse strings.
Do you think they just hold on and hope that things change?
Of course they do.
Because
it saves money. If they sack Postecoglou, it's going to cost them a fortune.
Or as long as if they're in Europe of some kind, that's enough. Because obviously they're more about putting concerts on at the stadium, etc. Because
oh god, they're just awful, aren't they? They are the worst.
Because they get so much more money from selling out a football game. Well, even the stadium's cursed, isn't it? A Taylor Swift concert, let's say.
I don't think.
I know you'd rather go to a Taylor Swift concert than watch a Tottenham game.
Oh, 100%. I love Taylor Swift. I don't think Taylor Swift would lower her standards to go there. But like, even the stadium is cursed because Anthony Joshua went there as a two-time world champion, and since he's been there, he lost all of his belts, and I don't think he's won a fight apart from that one he played against. The one he fought against that guy that I'd never heard of before.
Yeah,
he beat him up, and then he went back into the ring with. Didn't he get beat by Dubois, and he's got beat by Usyk, and he's just get beat by everybody now?
I mean, Joshua's lost a fair few fights.
He beat Wellens, and he beat
Richie Wellens. Isn't he a central midfielder?
Are you on about Joshua?
Yeah, Joshua.
Oh, he beat the MMA fighter, didn't he? Ngannou.
That's the one I was on about.
He actually beat two actual boxers, then he fought Ngannou. And the weird thing about the Ngannou fight was...
the fact that he's not a boxer.
No, no, hang on. Take boxing and everything out of it. Ngannou is one hell of a tough guy. No one has ever rocked him. He's had kicks in the head. He's had people punch him in 4-ounce gloves. And he's never been rocked the way that Joshua hit him. When Joshua hit him and it rocked him, that was unreal. So you're talking about one of the toughest guys in fighting. So just any fighting sport, he is one of the toughest blokes in that. And Joshua absolutely rattled him. Knocked him out.
Joshua lose to Dubois because of the fighting. He lost because of the coaching and the advice he got given. Because I can't remember who it was, but you listened on the commentary and he said they heard... Joshua's corner give him advice, and it was like, you've got to go for the jab or something like that and go for the uppercut and stuff like that. And the guy on commentary goes, that's absolutely terrible advice. As soon as he does that, Dubois is just going to turn around, hit him and knock him out. And within like 30 seconds, that's exactly what happened. So for me, he said, the commentator said, the corner's just giving him absolutely terrible advice on how to fight.
I think it also helps that Dubois is very powerful and tenacious.
I mean, that does help.
And just went for it.
Yeah.
I stopped watching heavyweight boxing when all the faff came out about Joshua and Tyson Fury. We're fighting, we're not fighting. I'm like, do you know what? If you're not going to fucking face each other, I believe, from what I've heard and read and one thing and another, I believe Joshua was willing to get in the ring with Fury.
I believe that as well.
I do not believe that Fury was willing to get into the ring.
There's plenty of evidence. Now, what you've got to remember is you've got a lot of Fury happy clappers out there.
Of course you are.
You've got a lot of happy clappers who still think that Fury won that second fight against Usyk. There was nothing in it.
I haven't seen any of it.
He was nowhere near winning. Fury was nowhere near winning.
He was closer than the scorecards.
Bollocks.
No, he was closer than the scorecard.
I haven't seen it.
They used AI reffing for the first time ever. Now, AI reffing judges on everything that you score points on. So not opinion, not, I think that he did well, or I feel that he did well. His question was, Dick, that AI works on facts. And as I pointed out to that stupid Italian bloke the other day on Facebook, just because you're a fan of a club that a player plays for doesn't mean that stats don't tell the truth. Facts are facts. Now, AI works on facts. Was this point scored because of this thing, this thing, and this thing? If the criteria matches, yes, point awarded. The AI had it at a 6-point gap. Not a 4-point gap like the judges.
Towards
6 points.
Usyk.
Okay. Usyk battered him.
Okay. I didn't watch it. I haven't even seen highlights.
What you've also got to remember is a lot of happy clappers and your people who think they're boxing connoisseurs, when they hear the bang, a glove hits a glove, they get all excited. Well, he's just hit the side of his... he's hit him, but his glove's up. So it's glove on glove. Sounds really good. There's nothing in it.
No.
So when Fury was swinging some of his punches and Usyk blocked it, you hear the bang and the fans are all getting excited. Fury hasn't even landed a hit. The AI picks up on this. The AI scores it for real world. Not, I think he might have hit him, so I'm going to give him a point. Facts. AI put Usyk at a massive win. Right? Usyk won that fight convincingly. Happy clappers. Fury. Now, the problem is Fury likes his happy clappers.
This is why he needs to be on camera. I swear to God, he needs to be on camera.
But Fury likes his happy clappers, and he appeals to the happy clappers because he stands there giving it the, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'll fight them all. They're all bums. I'll fight them for free. I'll knock them all out. All right, fight me. Oh, I want 700 million or I'm not going to get in the ring. Thought he didn't want money. Yeah, well, he makes excuses. He made excuses to dodge David Haye.
Yeah, see, that, that's why I stopped,
He made excuses to duck David Haye until David Haye injured himself and then was like, oh, yeah, he just want to fight me. Actually, mate, you've ducked him twice. They even got to the point. And then with Klitschko, he beat Klitschko and he absolutely decimated Klitschko. So I don't know what was going on, but Klitschko didn't look like Klitschko, but there was a rematch. And then that got ducked, and then that got ducked. And, oh, I've done this injury, and I've done this injury. Because he didn't want to fight Klitschko. And Klitschko got bored and went and fought Joshua instead. Because real fighters find fights.
That was a decent fight.
That was a cracking fight.
Joshua Klitschko fight, I enjoyed that.
One of my favourite fights to watch.
Yeah.
It was such a fantastic fight. And I didn't have a dog in the fight. I like them both. I liked them both.
Yeah.
So...
obviously, I'd rather Joshua win because he's English, but, you know.
So when it comes to boxing and fighting...
I mean, that doesn't always work because I wanted Usyk to win because I didn't want Fury to beat him.
Yeah, but that's different, though. At the time, I didn't dislike Joshua. I do now.
I'm a fighter fan. Done, I support the fighter rather than what nationality they are. With national sports, I get it. When you're following a national sport, like rugby, football, you can support that because it's your national team. There's no nationalities in boxing. It's a bit like tennis. You don't really have that nationality thing, do you? Unless it's like for the Olympics. You fight for yourself.
Oh, you're no, always... you do. Because I remember, if I'm right, I remember Andy Murray coming out saying, I'm not British, I'm Scottish. Oh, fuck off.
No,
mate.
He actually said, I'm not English, I'm Scottish.
I think he said, I'm not British, I'm Scottish. I don't want to be... like lumped in with the other guys.
No, I'm pretty sure he said English.
Here's another one that I'll say as well.
Oh, in which case,
Jake
he was right.
Paul is a better boxer than people make him out to be. People say he's just a YouTube boxer, which he may have started off, but he's had enough fights with enough people that
there are people out there
that may come out and knock him out, but why aren't these fighters taking his fight because they're scared that if they lose, they're not.
If you watch the Tyson fight, four or five times he pulls out of punching him. Four or five times he goes for a punch and he stops. He stops. Tyson could have beat him. Now, the only time he's ever fought a real boxer, I want to point something out. When I point out boxer,
Tommy
he
Fury.
Fought an amateur. Tommy Fury is not a professional boxer. He's an amateur fighter.
Yeah.
And he beat him convincingly. Jake Paul, Logan Paul, the pair of them are not good boxers. The fact that they...
fair play to him for getting in the ring.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're still taking shots.
You know what? It takes a lot of bollocks to get in the
they're
ring.
Still taking shots. I mean, I don't like either one of them. But
so fair play to him for that. Actually, you know what? Sometimes they say... They're like that horrible thing that sometimes they'll actually say something. You have to go, oh, I kind of agree with them on that. But... in the boxing world, they're a dangerous thing because one day they're going to fight. Rather than, I'm going to fight this pensioner, I'm going to fight this pensioner. They're going to fight someone proper and they're going to get hurt. And then who's the victim there?
So
who's going to look bad? It's going to be the boxing world that's going to look bad. If he gets in the ring, because Carl Froch is calling him out, Bellew's called him out. Either of those two get in the ring with him. They're going to ambulance him.
I think Froch really wants that guy in the ring as well because I think he wants to hurt him.
Absolutely. Froch doesn't want to fight him to be a payday. People are like, oh, he wants a payday. No, he wants to shut him up.
End the speculation.
Because at some point, somebody is going to get hurt. And I don't just mean like, oh, he's waking up for a week with a broken jaw. We're talking someone's going to like fucking get really severely hurt.
Yeah. I can see it happening.
I do agree with what you're saying because you saw Mike Tyson.
He's mates with Mike Tyson.
And how quick he was... fight and then he went slow.
Yeah, the thing
and
is,
it's like, why is he so slow? He is an old.
You've got to give him to him. But there was one or two times where he's opened Paul up, he's brought the uppercut in,
and just pulled
and
back.
Just as he's gone, he stops.
And there was once as well where I've seen where Jake Paul had tapped him on the shoulder with his glove. I saw.
Yeah.
And you could see Tyson sort of go towards him as if he was trying to say something.
Yeah. Well, apparently,
and
the,
I'm like
someone,
that. Looked like I think Tyson's hit him a bit hard there, and he's gone fucking ease up, mate.
Yeah,
this isn't part of it.
It makes you wonder: is it staged?
I think.
I don't give a fuck how old Tyson is. I would not want to take a proper punch off that guy because he'd kill me, even at 60.
Well,
I'd
they
be
changed
dead.
All the gloves and stuff, didn't they?
There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot.
You'd have to though, wouldn't you? Tyson's a fucking monster.
Like I say, for me, it looked a bit. Staged. It looked weird. There was something wrong with that fight. But when real people call Jake Paul out, he goes quiet. Who was it? Someone actually called him out.
I haven't heard him say anything about Froch, by the way.
So, Jake Paul had a fight cancel, and Chris Eubank Jr. said, I've got a fight next week, but I'll fight you tomorrow. I'll stand in for you, no problem. All of a sudden, the guy who can't shut up on social media.
Yeah.
Radio silence.
I don't think I'd like to stand in with him in a ring either, because he looks.
Yeah, Eubank Jr. is a decent fighter. He's not great.
He's not great because he's.
You don't need to be when you've fucking been brought up on YouTube.
But, I mean,
he's going to demolish.
You don't need a world-class fighter.
The thing is, when I was watching Anthony Joshua before the whole statement he made, I'm not going to go into it on the
You can go into it if you want to.
No, it's okay. I'll keep diplomatic. But before then, I was quite a big fan of Joshua, and I enjoyed watching his career progress.
I was, and that's when I went off during the whole COVID thing when he was out in the... in the streets.
Yeah, and when we were watching it, the undercard was always to people like Chris Eubanks Jr., Conor Benn, and it was quite exciting to see where their careers were going. And you also had
shit with Conor Benn, didn't you? And
you had Katie Taylor as well. I mean, she's a bit ruthless.
She's an animal. She's fucking hell.
Good fighter. Very good fighter. I like Katie Taylor.
That is one woman you would not want to piss off.
I mean, that was a great fight on the undercard for the Tyson Paul fight.
You know what annoyed me though? But because it looked more like a stitch job, Katie Taylor prior to the fight had said she was willing to bet. She took a deal with Paul about it, she would bet her winnings if Tyson beat her.
Yeah.
And then to see what looks like quite a staged fight was sort of like, it's a bit.
Yeah, I didn't watch the fight because I didn't think it was a fight.
I think I just don't want it to be staged. And I hope that nobody wanted it.
You know what? If you beat him, you beat him. Congratulations, you beat another pensioner.
Right, let me tell you. I don't care how old Tyson is. He's hurting people.
He only threw something like 47 punches in the whole
fight. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
The most aggressive man in history. Yeah, okay, pull the other one. Yeah. How many did he back out of? 90?
100? He definitely pulled out of at least 4.
I'll bet there was fucking loads more. This is the... I know he's 60. I get it, and I understand the age. I'm 43. I creak walking up the stairs. I understand what age does to you. But this is Mike Tyson. He's not a normal human being.
Yeah.
He wasn't a normal human being when he was 25. He's not a fucking normal human being now. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
The guy is hard as fuck. I don't care how long you've been training. If he hits you, and I mean hits you, you're going to fucking know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but Jake Paul, Logan Paul, Paul Paul, I don't care what your fucking name is. If you get hit properly by Tyson...
What are you going to say? RuPaul. Like.
You're going down.
Yeah.
So there's no way Tyson actually put any effort into any of them punches. Because 60 or not, that guy's still got ferocious power.
I think the problem is everybody wanted it to be a real fight.
Of course they did, because they wanted to see Paul get hurt. Whichever Paul it was.
And I want to say, is Jake Paul actually a good boxer or not? Because he's trained.
He's a good boxer. He's not class. He's not brilliant. He's never going to be world champion. But yeah, he's a good boxer because he's going in against...
I will tell you the level he's at. He's at what we call a journeyman level. So
I would agree with that.
So you know when you get your new professional fighter, the next big thing, and they get him in the ring and they go against some bloke you've never heard of.
Yeah, but he's had like 80 fucking fights. He's lost 76 of them or whatever.
And yeah, he's lost most of them. But what you realise is they've got amazing defensibility.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to taking the hits, because they know what to look for, but they're not really there to
They're not going to hurt you, man.
They're there to sort of bulk the numbers up. They're a professional fighter. These are good boxers. Against anyone else, they're going to cream you. They're going to absolutely batter you.
Of course they are.
But they're never going to tie you up.
They're getting a nice payday.
Yeah. But they're okay with it. They are professionals. That is their living. But they're never going to win a title. They're never going to challenge for a title. Yeah. They're never going to see the top 10.
Yeah.
But these are still professional fighters. They're still in the top 200 fighters in the world.
He's still taking a good hit off fucking people.
Absolutely. Jake Paul is in the top 200 boxers of his weight division in the world. I would probably even say he's probably in the top 100 of his weight. That's about as far as I'm going to go with it. Yeah. Because he has got skill.
Is that but, not, like...
Do you think any part of these fighters that call him out a little bit, say, Carl Froch or Tony Bellew, you know, the ones that you want to see them fight, Jake Paul, do you think any part of them, like, sits there and thinks, what if he actually beats me?
No.
No. Not even for a second. No.
You think they're that confident that they 100%. Will do it?
Carl Froch didn't get in the ring with Andre Ward and go, this guy might be better than me and beat me. No, he went out there fighting arguably at the time, the best pound for pound boxer in the world with the thought, I'm going to hurt this guy and beat him.
I mean, the Carl Froch fight that I think of is when he was fighting George Groves. I mean, he were
some great fights.
Sensational fights. Yeah. And I mean, I was massive Carl Froch fight.
Now take Groves out of that ring. And put Paul in there.
He's getting creamed.
He gets destroyed. But Froch's been out 10 years. More.
I think once you've got to that level,
he's still trained. Froch still trained.
Have you seen the shape of the guy? Yeah, have you seen him on telly? There's no way that guy's been at home eating fucking pizzas. Yeah. Not a chance. Shape. That guy's still in the gym.
Carl Froch obliterates Jake Paul. Obliterates him.
Yeah, because I don't think he's going to take that bullshit about having a payday and being nice.
No, he's not.
But the weird thing
that's
is...
because people like Bellew and Carl Froch, they're real fighters. They're world champions.
Oh, they've got real mentality as well.
Champions with that, I'm going to hurt this guy. Mm. You've heard them both comment on the whole... what I said, somebody's going to get hurt. This needs to stop. It needs to be brought back into the professional world, not this YouTuber world. It needs to be brought back.
I agree.
And
completely.
I think the reason those two are so willing to have the fight... isn't because they want the payday. They're getting enough money from going and doing shows and stuff. They want to stop this guy. They want to put him in his place. They want to hit him hard. They want to put him on his arse. And they want him to realise, you know what? I can fight old men. I can fight MMA fighters in boxing. But I can't fight real fighters.
I mean, David Haye was a cracking fighter.
This has definitely gone off the topic of football, by the way. But
David Haye was a cracking fighter. I enjoyed David Haye. And I think that overall David Haye was probably the better fighter, or should have been the better fighter than Tony Bellew, but I think Tony Bellew's training came and his ability
I think Bellew's a better fighter. I mean, it was proven by the fights, but
yeah,
I think a lot of people overlooked Bellew. And the problem is a lot of cruiserweights are overlooked. A lot of people were overlooking Usyk. No one really noticed who Usyk was until he decided to step up, despite the fact that at the time...
And how?
...completely and totally destroyed the cruiserweight. His next fight...
Well, it was Tony Bellew who won it because he absolutely destroyed him. I mean, what a fight. I mean, I wanted Bellew to win that fight, but my word.
What time is it?
What a...
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap this up soon, boys, because I'm up at 11 and it's now 10 past 7.
Okay, so I'm going to finish it very quickly. So, you've got... a fighter called Gilberto Ramirez, who is the current cruiserweight title holder. Mm. He is a phenomenal boxer. Most people don't know who he is. Usyk is more...
I've just Googled it.
Have you?
Because I don't know the fuck he is. Just as you said that, I'm like, fuck, I'm just on Google.
I've seen that Usyk wants to come back down.
Yeah, because for Usyk, the next best fight is Ramirez. Ramirez, Usyk... I will tell you now, will probably, if they get it on this year, it will be the fight of the year.
Mm.
But because he's not a heavyweight, because he's not a heavyweight, people don't pay attention. Bellew, people knew who he was, but no one really paid attention to him. Bellew was a fantastic boxer, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
And when he stepped up to fight Haye, everyone automatically
he had a game plan.
Haye was going to
win. He was quick.
Not a chance.
Haye couldn't hit him. If Haye hit... I mean, Bellew said it. He said, if Haye hits me, I'm going to be in trouble. But he basically went with a game plan. He can't hit me.
Yep.
He can't win.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he did.
Well, what you got to remember is, Haye rocked Valuev.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He broke his hand
on that
giant man's head.
That's one of them, isn't it? Valuev can't beat Haye if he can't hit him. And that's what Haye did. Because Valuev was a hell of a lot bigger fighter.
Oh, yeah. That was like...
Bit like Klitschko. Don't get hit by Klitschko. Don't get hit by Klitschko.
He was a beast as well, wasn't he, in his day? I mean, both of them wanted
them to fight each other, didn't you? The brothers, but they never would. They wouldn't want to hurt each other.
Actually, they stated it was for their mom. Their mom didn't want them to fight each other, so they wouldn't fight each other.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Fair play.
But that would have been... I bet if you could find footage of those two sparring, because I bet they sparred, that'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah. I bet they hurt each other as well.
Of course they did. The brothers.
Yeah, I bet they hurt each other. Right, I think what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up so I can at least get a couple of hours sleep before I have to drive all over the Midlands tomorrow. So, that we did get a bit off track, but I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Chat about boxing, actually. Yeah. Even though just something a little bit different for everybody. Who knows? You might like it, you might not. I'm sure you'll let us know in the comments.
Those who were waiting for us to go back to the football were a bit disappointed.
Okay, very quickly then. I just want to say, Vinicius Junior is a child. He's a perpetual little child. He's a perpetual little whiner. And anyone who thinks that he should have won the Ballon d'Or is an idiot.
See you next week.